Can you hear me, Jim? Okay, thanks. All right. Studying the parables of the Bible, what would have been one of the parables? Lots of them. The seed. Okay. Is Lazarus and the rich man a parable? No. It's close. Remember, because why is it not a parable? Do you remember? That's right. You got it. See? So now you remember that. Next time you'll know that. Wheat and tare. Good Samaritan. Is it, yep. Well, who else? Yes, sir. Abraham and Isaac. Probably not a parable. They're real people, real story. Yes, unjust judge. Parable of lost coin. There's a lot of them. Remember, we had a whole bunch that we looked at or just named. So if it has the name of a person that's a real person, it's not a parable. Okay. Studying the Bible by meditating on one passage. That's where we're going to be at today. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and see what Brother Cloud has shared with us. Studying the Bible by meditating on one passage. Now, that one passage can be one verse, or it could be a chapter, and he's going to share with us that today. But a very helpful type of Bible study is to meditate on one passage, find as many thoughts and practical lessons as possible. Meditation is like ruminating or pondering. It's something you spend time with, and you read it over and over and over again. You spend time thinking about it. And just that one passage, I think he'll mention a lot of that when we get to it. Blessing of one who meditates on God's words. This is the blessing that comes from meditating on God's word. Number one, he will prosper and have good success. That's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So what is he telling us there is if we'll meditate on Scripture, what meditation does, it brings it to our hearts and minds that we will know that and live by that. It'll be something that we will have. It'll just be ingrained in us. It becomes natural to us to live according to the Scripture as we learn that Scripture. We put it in our lives and we practice that. And so that's what meditation does for us. That's one of the things. The blessing of one who meditates on God's word will prosper and have good success. And good success does not mean you're going to have a lot of money. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. What are we talking about when we say prosper and good success? Okay, you can find God's will and you can live it according to His will. That is success. Spiritual success is what we're looking for, not financial success. There are a lot of people that are poor and are spiritual giants, and vice versa. Second one, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, how we live, it's going to prosper, not necessarily always in the physical realm, but definitely spiritual realm. Psalm 1:1-3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And this is a progression, okay? You begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That is, you seek counsel of someone who is not a person who's in the Word of God about spiritual things. You need to be careful. But then it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So now you're hanging around with the sinners, okay? You're following them. You're doing what they're doing. And then, nor sitteth in the seat scornful. Now you become one of them, and you're really scorning the Word of God. You're scorning the things of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So as we live according to the Word of God, God's promises are true. We shall prosper spiritually. That doesn't mean that we're never going to get sick. Doesn't mean we're going to have problems come into our lives. But when we respond to Him the way God's Word teaches us, we will prosper through those, okay? And that's the most difficult thing for all of us is that trial is to go to God and do it His way instead of our way, our natural inclination. Okay, he will have respect unto God's ways. Psalm 119:15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So when we respect his ways, we're willing to follow those. We know his way is best, right? Okay. Number four, he will profit in the things of Christ and have a good reputation. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. So you meditate upon them. You give yourself to them that thy profiting may appear to all. See, what their profiting is going to be is they're going to see that you are walking with Christ. And when they see people truly walking with Christ, that's going to spawn their curiosity. Why are you so different? Why do you do what you do? Now, if we try to walk with Christ and keep falling down and not having victories in our lives, they're going to look at us and say, well, you're a Christian, but you're just like us. You know, there's no difference. And we should be different. And God does that in our lives as we continue to walk with Him. So meditating on Scripture is what we're talking about. Okay, the following suggestions for meditating upon passage are by Dr. Bruce Lackey. Remember, he referenced Dr. Lackey several times in his studies. Write every thought, even the most obvious. Now, what he's talking about is as you're studying that passage, you're going to start writing things down. Write everything that comes to your mind about that passage. It can be as simple as God said or something like that, although you'll come up with more, depending on the verse. Like, for instance, meditating day and night. One of the things that would come to my mind, well, obviously, meditate day and night. That word day means daily, and night just means night. So, but it means meditate all the time. Kind of what you, so you write those type of things down. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Do not omit something because you think it's too simple. It's easy to say, well, that's not deep, so I'll not write that down. Write everything down, sort of like brainstorming. You know, the way they teach us to brainstorm is you write, there's no bad ideas. You write everything on the board, and then you go back later and you choose those things that are more important than others, and you categorize them. That's kind of what he's teaching us right now. What this ends up is being, as Dr. Surrett taught us in, I can't even remember the class now, but might have been homiletics, was points of assertion. Okay? So you're looking at a verse or a passage, and you're writing out everything you can about that, and that will end up being some of your chapter headings or your topic headings in your sermon. Okay, let's go on. The obvious teachings of a verse will often lay the foundation for solving problems that may arise later. So when you see the obvious teaching, it might help us later spawn something else to help in situations that we may come across. Also, what may be obvious to you may be unknown to another. This is a problem that sometimes I have, no doubt, is that you think, well, everybody knows this. You read it all the time, but everybody doesn't know it. You don't know when a person's going to get something. It may be common knowledge to you, but to them it's like, that's the first time I ever heard this. I've had people come and say, I just heard this, and it maybe is something that I've taught many, many times, and they just never heard it at that particular time. God didn't spawn it to their mind saying, you need to remember this or whatever. And it's like, it just came new. It's happened to me many times when I'm reading a passage and all of a sudden, whoa, where was that 10 years ago? The Word of God didn't change. What changed was God speaking to my heart and showing me something. So it could be obvious to somebody else. It may not be to you. So who's less experienced in Christian life, and you should not overlook that which may help others. Confine your thoughts to the particular verse you are studying. Okay, so whatever you're meditating on in this situation, that's where you want to confine your thoughts at the time. This is not a time necessarily to go out, and I think he'll mention this as we go through it, is go out and pull out other verses and put everything together and look for other sources to build it up. You're just looking at one passage and studying one passage at this particular time. Now, as you find other things, you can write those down and go to those, but he's just talking about this one passage. That could be a verse or a chapter or just a passage. You'll probably be reminded of other verses. I can kind of mention that. So, and then he goes on and says, but it is important to discipline yourself to stay with one at a time. Okay? And in a few minutes, he's going to go through John 3:16. That's what we'll look at. If the verse stirs your interest in a theme or a topic elsewhere in Scripture, make a note of that on a separate sheet of paper for further study. So you may want to go back to that and study that some other time. So if you have set out to study, for instance, Joshua 1:8, and you want to study that passage, stick to that passage at this particular time. If things come off and you want, there's other things, that verses that are brought to your remembrance or whatever, just jot those down for a later time and just continue meditating on that one passage or studying that one passage. The same would be true for researching the Greek and a Hebrew word. In other words, don't go off and chase those words and all that at this particular time. Although I don't know, I like to go find out what the words mean so I know what I'm meditating on. So anyway, consult commentaries, word studies, and other helps only after you have written every possible conclusion from your meditation of the verse. So what he's saying is, after you're done with your points of assertion, then you might want to expand that out. Okay? So try to forget preconceived ideas about what the verse means. Anybody ever read the Bible and said, in your mind, you knew what that meant? I do it all the time. I got to be careful with that. Because I'm thinking, oh, I know what this means, and then read it, and then say, well, yeah, it confirms it, but if I sit there and meditate on it and start studying it, God reveals other things in there that maybe I'm not getting because I've already got this preconceived notion. Maybe I heard a message on something, and I've already, oh, that passage means this, instead of letting God's Word speak to me personally. Let the Scripture speak to you, not vice versa. In other words, don't tell God what He's saying. Let God tell you what He's saying, okay? It's easy to do that, okay? Make sure your thoughts and conclusions do not contradict the general message of the whole Bible. If you study a passage and you're sitting there and it says that salvation is by baptism, that contradicts the Bible as a whole. There are verses in there that, if you're not careful, may tend to lead you to think that's what they're talking about. Being baptized for the remission of sins, for instance. And if you study that out in that one passage, you think, well, but is that contradictory to the Bible? Absolutely. And you can study many, many other passages that explain that very carefully. And there's, of course, the thief on the cross, which helps us to understand that as well. Salvation is only by what? That's right. It's no works at all. Ephesians 2:9-8. Remember that God is unchangeable. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So again, God's message is not going to change. Literally, applications may change. Everybody understand that? That applications can change? In other words, when you're reading the Old Testament, it has a literal translation there. But there are applications for us in our lives that we can use from that and draw from that, okay? The Word of God doesn't change. And that His Word cannot contradict itself, Galatians 3:17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So it cannot change, okay? It will not contradict itself. The preacher or teacher could organize their conclusions into an outline that would be suitable for a sermon lesson. That's what I was talking about, points of assertion. Okay? So now, like I said, we're probably going to get done a little bit early today. So examples. He gives two. I went ahead and did another one, and we'll look at it. It's one I've already mentioned, but meditating on one verse, John 3:16. Someone open your Bible and read that. Josh? Okay, I want somebody to open their Bible and read it. I know everybody can quote it. Okay, great.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Okay, very good. Okay, so that's John 3:16. So as we're meditating on this verse, in meditating, we'd spend time thinking about that verse. What does that verse mean? One of the things that when I was meditating on that verse a while back, that's where I came. There's nothing new on the sun, but that's where I started telling people about God loves you, Jesus died for you, and God has a plan for you to spend eternity with Him. That's an outline, basically, of that verse. And so when you meditate on it, God will bring things to your mind. Let me see what is next. I should have my notes. Ask yourself the question, what are all the lessons that I can find from this one verse without looking at any other verses? So before we go to the other slides, you help me out what you think this verse is saying. And I'm sure you're all going to be right, so don't be afraid to say. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And what's it not saying, too? There's some things you can flip the coin and see. There's other things, yes. God's love is for all. Okay, true. If you believe in Him, you'll be saved. Okay. God has a Son. Okay. Salvation is everlasting. That's right. What else? It's a gift. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's right. What else? It's through faith. Yeah. Got to believe, right? Okay. Heaven and hell. Yes.
Love is demonstrated by an action.
Love is demonstrated by an action. Okay. There's only one begotten Son. Points of assertion. That's right. Those who don't believe will perish. You have to believe to have everlasting life. So those who don't will not have everlasting life. All right. What else? That's right. Everybody has a choice. Anybody think of anything else? So we're all good. You have to believe, okay?
You can't do it by yourself.
Okay, in what way? What are you talking about? Okay, you can't save yourself. Okay. Yeah. You have to believe, right? That's right. Somebody else? Josh? Absolutely. That's right. Amos, you got a thought? No? Okay. I mean, yeah, I understand. That's all right. Anybody else want to share anything? These are all right. These are points of assertion. What's the verse mean? And as you meditate, you may come up with some others. Let's just see what Brother Cloud gives us and shares with us. So first, God loves men. Okay? So that's a blanket statement. He loves men. And when we say men, we're talking about what'd you say, Greg? Okay, I figured he was smiling so big, I knew that. That's why I was going to suggest that this men is generic. It's also women. All right. You mean he's not going to be able to get up out of seat? No. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not sure that's in the verse, but anyway. God loves men very much. Wow, he's so loved, right? God loves the whole world of men, so loved the world. So does God love those people that shoot people, those people that do really bad things to people? Does God love them? That's right. In that while they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. That's right. So again, that's something to keep in mind. It's because God's love that he provided man's salvation that he gave. God gave us salvation through Jesus Christ. God has a son. I think someone mentioned that one too, yes. Jesus is God's only begotten son. I think somebody mentioned that. Jesus died to save all men. That's the world. That's true. I think someone mentioned that too. Salvation is for all men, whosoever. Salvation is a gift he gave, right? You don't have to earn it. It's a free gift. Salvation is through faith, whosoever believeth. Salvation is in Christ, believeth in him. And of course, we know, and we're not looking at other scriptures, but other scriptures confirm that as well. Salvation is sure and everlasting, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the opposite, I think Lynn mentioned that if you don't trust Christ, then you will perish. Okay? Those who do not believe will perish. There is no universal salvation. A lot of people believe that we're all God's children. We're made in the image of God, so we're all God's children. So God is merciful. He is. He's kind. He is. And so everybody's going to be with God. But what they don't understand is God is a just God, a righteous God, and he has a plan. And we have to stick to his plan. There's only one way. Okay, let's see what's the next one. Okay, meditating on a theme, Genesis. So let's go to Genesis, and that's chapter 1. I think 31 verses. Yep. Okay. So, could I have six readers, six volunteers? Okay. Genesis 1 through 5. You're going to do that? 6 through 10. Who will do that for me? Josh. Genesis 11 through 15. Okay. Rob. Genesis 16 through 20. Henry. So you're going to pick up 21 through 25, okay? And 20, I hope that's five verses, yeah. 26 through 31, Kurt, you can have the rest. So let's go ahead and as everybody's reading, let's just listen and pay attention because we're going to ask those questions. What can we glean from these this particular chapter? So let's go ahead and begin.
In the beginning,
yeah.
God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And evening and morning were the first day.
Okay, verse 6 through 10.
God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. God saw that it was good.
Okay. Verse 11.
And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the earth yielding seed, and a fruit tree yielding fruit and drink cup, whose seed in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the third day. And God said, Let there be light.
Okay, Henry.
God made two great lights, greater light to move the day, and a lesser light to move the night. He made stars also. And God set the firmament of the heaven to give light upon earth, and to move over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the same day. God said,
Okay, Ethan.
And God created the whales and everything and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly. After their kind, and every clean fowl after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl fly on the earth, and everything that in the morning and the morning were the fifth day. God said, Let the earth bring forth living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that
And over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth. And every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be fruit. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the earth. And to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. It was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth.
Okay. So a lot of verses to think about and to meditate on, right? A lot of stuff. What are some ideas or thoughts, Josh? Absolutely. Everything he made was good. All right, what else? That's good. Okay, Ben? God created the earth, absolutely. Anything else? Yes?
God's word will not return void. It will accomplish what he said to do. So when he said it was going to happen, it would happen. God said, let him let him.
Okay. God spoke. Okay, your words are good. Long but good. All right, go ahead. That's okay. Somebody else. That's good. What are some other thoughts that you can come away with? Josh?
Made everything of its own kind.
Yes, so the seed came, or excuse me, not the seed, but the egg came before the chicken. No. He made the chicken, and then the egg came. Right, okay. Ben? Everything that he made was very good. That's right. Somebody else. It's a lot of stuff here. Yes. Okay. The first. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. You'll see that in there that it's plural. And if you went and studied the Hebrew word, you'd find out the first mention of God is Elohim, which is also a plural word. So again, the Trinity. That's good. Okay, Ben?
He didn't build the earth. He spoke and it became.
That's right. He didn't build it. He spoke it into existence. Very good.
Yes.
He gave Adam the job of.
That's right. He named all the animals. He gave them to me. That's right. I'm not right. That's it. Somebody else might have something there. Anybody? Other ideas? Or same ideas. Maybe expand on those ideas. This is, yes, ma'am.
Created man on dust.
That's right. Absolutely. Anybody else? Stop.
Instead of having wine,
okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And he did me. Okay. Pretty good. Come away with what we read. What?
I was just saying, verse 11, like what Josh said, God said, let your every foot grass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Now I'll give you. Okay.
While Satan came after the sixth day, whenever it was, I don't know, but God kind of saw that all of the
that's exactly right, too. No rebellion. Anybody else? Thoughts? Josh?
He created the sea.
Yes, he did. Should we say that again? He did. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Created the man, animals, and fish and fowl.
That's right, he did. He created everything, right? He created plants, he created the sun, moon, and stars. What else did he do? He created
time.
Yes, that's right, time.
Land,
yeah. He separated the what?
Firmament from
water. Okay, what's a firmament?
Sky.
Sky, that's right. So there's waters above and there's waters below the firmament, right? Okay.
Maybe
the sun, moon, and stars? Yeah.
He created the Garden of Eden
with
no sin and no violence.
That's right. There was no sin, no violence. All right, good. Well, you guys, you're going to have a preaching work class. Okay. Perfect.
Well, the light existed before the sun, moon, and stars, and in addition,
absolutely. Set them in order. That's important.
Gave them a purpose.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see what Brother Cloud says. I don't think he shares a whole lot with this one, but anyway, let's look and see. Say this passage, asking yourself the following questions. What does the passage teach me about God? See, I should have taken more of that. I didn't, but let's see. God created the world. Okay, that was mentioned. God existed before the world. We didn't mention that, but that's again, it reminds us he's once spoken into existence. God has great power and wisdom. He's more pointed. I probably should have given you that question. God speaks his word. Excuse me. God speaks and his word is powerful. Who is the word?
God.
That's right. Can you be more specific? And the word was with God. The word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. So Jesus is there. God has a spirit. We know that. We know that's the Holy Spirit. God loves man. We know that because of the way he put him in the garden. He's going to give him dominion over all this. He put him in a perfect place. He made a wonderful world for him. He made him in his own image. He blessed him. Okay. God judges whether things are good. So God is the judge of what's good and what's not good. Okay. So, again, how do you find out what's good and what's not good inside of God?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible, that's right. Henry?
Also, convictions.
Well, conviction is what happens when you read your Bible and the Spirit of God speaks to us through the Word of God and says, hey, this is good, this is not, or whatever situation. Absolutely. Conviction will help us to know what's right and what's good. God convicts us of those things. God speaks of himself in plural, and brought that out. Okay. We got 5 minutes, so we're not going to go to Joshua 1:8. But Joshua 1:8, maybe that's something you want to do on your own. You just take that verse, meditate on that, and just come up with some points of assertion, and just find out, as you meditate on the scripture, what's teaching you and that type of thing. Anybody have any questions about dealing with a passage? It could be a verse, it could be a chapter, it could be 3 verses, whatever. It's something that you meditate on, and when you meditate on that, you come up with points of assertion or thoughts and ideas of that passage. And there's nothing that's too small or nothing that needs to be neglected. Whatever the Lord brings to your mind, write that down, because it might be beneficial to you when you're studying and meditating on that passage. Okay? Anybody have any questions or thoughts? No one go home. Okay, we got one person, so let's go ahead and do that. Let's have a word of prayer here. Let's everybody go ahead and stand, and we'll have a word of prayer to dismiss and hurt the people.
Thank you again, Father, for the study you had in your work this afternoon and the fellowship you had in your house, seeing this with faith. Today, we pray you would dismiss us with your blessing, go before the week that's ahead of us, Lord, help us to walk as we ought to before thee.
Have our latest coordinated meeting, short one.